War Eagle. This is War Bloggle with what was going to be a Bloggle spot, which would have been around Bloggle spot 238 or so, somewhere in there. But I've got a little extra time. I'm not going to hold my phone and record. I'm actually at my desk recording. So I think I'm going to call this an actual War Bloggle podcast, which would be probably podcast number 12. We're usually pumping these out about once a season, you know, really frequently. But, you know, the Bloggle spots, especially the live ones I used to do, they ended up really being podcasts. But anyway, enough about that. It is Tuesday during Texas A&M game week, the 2023 season. Spoiler alert, not spoiler alert, pull back the curtain here. I already recorded this about 4 hours ago, and I used a website that was uploading it as I was going, and my internet was not great apparently, so I went back and listened and it was all jumpy. So I'm going to try to re-record this and say all the awesome things I said before, and fix all the bugs and stuff that I did before. But anyway, you don't care about that. We're here to talk about Auburn and other things that make us mad. But yes, it is Tuesday in Texas A&M week. Auburn is 3-0. Texas A&M is 2-1. They are no longer ranked. They're actually, if you're counting votes, actually, I think they are maybe ahead of Auburn in the AP poll. They might have gotten more than Auburn's one vote, which we'll talk about later. But I know in the coaches' poll, they are actually one spot behind Auburn. They started, you know, 24th or something along those lines. Basically, had to have been because of their best of all-time signing class last season. You remember that was when you could start openly paying people, and all of a sudden they had every five-star on demand, and I think they won five games, four or five. They lost at Auburn late in the season last year. Their quarterback went to Georgia Tech, Haynes King. I don't know why I know that. He's probably the only random weird quarterback name I remember. But they're just one of those teams that just don't ever seem – they can't seem to put it together. This is Jimbo's sixth year, I think. And just like Kevin Sumlin, they were eight wins at best. And now they've got a $90 million coach and or a buyout coach and all the five stars in the world. And, you know, so far this year, again, I said they were 2-1. They beat New Mexico really badly in the first game like they should have. Then they lost by 15 to Miami. They scored, 33 points and gave up 48 in a road game. And then they beat Louisiana Monroe really bad last week. So they've scored at least 33 points in every game. I think it was something like 52, 33, and 48 or something like that. I don't know, maybe 50. So they scored a lot of points. They've got Bobby Petrino as their offensive coordinator with Jimbo, which is weird because that's two offensive minds and one former head coach, one head coach, both been all around the place. You know, I'm not one of those guys that just despises Jimbo just because he's Jimbo. Obviously, he's got some things that are things to not like, but he gets kind of the Dabo treatment. He's in the spotlight a lot. He won a national championship, but people really delight when he loses. They get a lot of delight in it. And I'm not saying I don't. I don't despise him like some people do. That doesn't mean I like him. I mean, he was an Auburn coach at one point. But he was also LSU, Texas A&M. I mean, he's been about everywhere. But he coached with, was it with Pat Dye or was it under, I don't know, I should know this. But anyway, he's been an Auburn guy before, but also beaten Auburn in the national championship. So, you know, this is one of those games. When they joined the SEC in 2012, you know, Johnny Manziel destroyed us. It was like 62-28 or something like that at home. I remember being there, being dark and cold. And everybody was gone by halftime, and it was just like one of the darker times in Auburn history. 2012, obviously, Chizik's last year. But then the next year, you know, we go out there for the first time ever, since they'd been in the SEC at least. And, you know, Dee Ford sacks Johnny Manziel, Nick Marshall, all that kind of stuff. It was one of the best games in Auburn history. And since then, Auburn has only lost there one time, which was the last time when they Bo Nix was there or Calzada beat Bo Nix 20-3. And it was one of those games. It was just kind of like, I mean, yeah, we didn't score a touchdown, but that, I don't think they scored 20 until like the very end. And it was just one of those, just, I don't know that it was a knockdown, drag out fight or a defensive struggle. It was just one of those games, just like, blah, what happened? I remember it being on CBS. But yeah, that's the only time Auburn's ever lost there. It used to be a place that I was scared of Auburn playing in, but I think all of that was just related to it being new, and you see the big old stadium and all the money and the crazy fans, and I really do mean crazy. But it was just, it seemed scary. But again, we did not lose out there forever. I want to say in 15, we played out there at 11 a.m. and we blocked a punt right before halftime and really went up on them. That might have been 17. 15. Yeah, 15 is when we played with Jeremy Johnson and beat Kyler Murray. Well, he came in late. But Jeremy Johnson played over, I guess it was Sean White, and everybody thought we were going to lose. We ended up winning something like 26-12 or something. Then 17, we won out there, and I think that was the 11 a.m. game. And then 19, I don't really remember. They kind of all run together in 21. I don't know. But anyway, for a while, the away team had won all the games until the last 2 years. Bo Nix year out there, they won. And then we beat them last year here when we were struggling, and that was Carnell's first win. And it was just one of those, both teams were not great. Both teams, I think, had three wins at the time. And we got our fourth, and or maybe it was the fourth and then the fifth. But, you know, they're one of those teams, it's like, I forget the fact, it's like I'm scared of them a little bit because they were ranked and whatever. But then again, last year, I mean, we beat them last year with, you know, an interim coach and Robbie just kind of running around, and it was just like, you know, we were nothing. We were not great and still beat them. So I'm not sure why it should be any different this year. You know, on the road is a big deal, but we've done that. We've gone about as far as you can go, played about as late as you can play in a weird situation against a team that's, you know, shouldn't be as good as Texas A&M. I would say they're probably, if Texas A&M was a 10, Cal's probably a 7 or a 6. But, you know, we've done all the quirky stuff and had to deal with the travel and all of that. And again, their only loss was on the road as well. Well, not as well, but that was their only loss was on the road. But we do have a new quarterback for the SEC. It's going to be his first SEC game. Hugh Freeze has done it many times in the SEC, obviously. But it's a new coaching staff, new offensive line pretty much, new almost everything except for the secondary and the kicker, I guess. And he's somewhat new and only kicked 2 field goals all season. But it's just, they're one of those teams where I could see us going out there and losing by 10 or 14. Weirdly, I could see us winning by 14 or 21. It just depends. I think the Bobby Petrino wrinkle is a thing. We've got, I mean, obviously his offense is known. He's been around a long time, and Hugh Freeze has played Texas A&M and played Bobby Petrino. But it's always a tough game to pick to me because I still feel like they're good. I don't know why. Again, I guess it's just because we haven't seen them a ton, but I just always kind of feel like they're good and it's going to be out there and they're going to be crazy. But again, it's 11 a.m. They've been up till midnight screaming the night before, or learning how to scream, excuse me. But, you know, it could – I don't think if you lose, it's the worst thing in the world. Again, a road game in the SEC, knew everything. Nobody's expecting much this season. I don't think it's the end of the world. But if you don't beat them, it's going to be tough to beat Georgia at home. I don't know that really is true because beating Georgia at home is different than going to College Station, especially the way Georgia has been playing, not that great, especially early in the games. So I don't know. It's one of those games. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way, but I kind of feel like if it is, it would be Auburn. I just have this weird feeling that, you know, Peyton's going to do what he did, you know, last week, drop dimes and run when he has to, and then Robbie's going to come in and have his own little special thing. And, you know, we haven't really seen You know, Samford, Auburn did kind of, obviously they aired it out, but we didn't do too much crazy stuff. We hadn't seen a reverse yet. We hadn't seen a flea flicker or a lot of play action. We hadn't seen a lot of that. So while we did open it up and prove that we could throw the ball, we really haven't had to open it up too much. So it's a unpredictable game to me. They all are. But I just don't think we know a ton about. We knew Texas A&M was not great last year. They have a new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. Auburn was about, it was obviously a little bit better than Texas A&M last year, and we've got kind of a new everything. I don't think the home field advantage helps them at all because it's 11 a.m. We've gone out there before and won at 11 a.m. a few times. It doesn't scare me. I've got an idea for my preview that I'm going to write Friday, but it's not scary to go out there and play anymore. It's just kind of scary in a different way, and I'll explain that in the preview. You'll have to wait and read it. This past week, I didn't really get too deep into it on Twitter. I didn't really think I had to. I was going to do a bloggle spot about it that night, but it was kind of a weird last week. I had two tweets that I kind of put out there, and they got a weird response. The first was the thing with the eagle flying at the Philadelphia Eagles game on Thursday night. I cannot remember who they were playing. I don't know. Somebody's yelling who it is, but Eagles, Lions, when they're playing, I just don't care. I could not care less. I don't care who they're playing, when they're playing. I just don't enjoy watching the Eagles or the Lions. They're just very boring to me, and I don't like the Eagles anyway. But I tweeted, you know, Philadelphia Eagles, you didn't see it on TV. The only people who saw it were the people who saw it live at the game. Phillies fans, by the way, not just Eagles fans, Phillies fans. And then Philadelphia Eagles tweeted out Fly Eagle Fly or something like that and did the video. And at the very bottom put Auburn, tagged Auburn U. Not Auburn University, not Raptor Center, not Auburn Tigers. It was just Auburn U. Pretty much the bare minimum you can do. Hey, here's an eagle. Oh, here at the bottom is Auburn U. So I didn't really love that we did that. It wasn't in the world to me. But I just tweeted, yeah, let's not do that anymore. Like, that was it. And my stance on it is we preach and we say it every single time. Auburn, this is a tradition that is uniquely Auburn. And it is. It's awesome. I have seen every single Eagle flight in the stadium. I was a freshman in 2000. They started it then. They started with the Eagle. They would stand under the goalpost and hold their hand up, and the eagle would jump and get on the little crossbar, you know, whatever height that is, not too high, 10 feet or so. And the eagle would just fly straight to the middle of the field. It wouldn't fly around. Then eventually they backed it up a little bit, and then they eventually got it to go in the circle. Not many people know that. Not many people say that or remember that. But anyway, I've seen them all. So I kind of feel a little – I've not missed a game since then, a home game. I feel a little bit nostalgic and not necessarily ownership or gatekeeping of it, as I was accused of having, but I just kind of have this feeling of like, this is our thing, okay? And I don't understand. Now, again, this wasn't on live TV. It was put on Twitter by the Philadelphia Eagles with the bare minimum of credit you could give. I don't understand why Phillies fans, we don't like Phillies fans, nobody likes Phillies fans, the Eagles have inarguably the worst fans in the history of sports. They boo every single thing. They threw snowballs and booed Santa Claus a few years ago. Look it up on YouTube. They hate everything. I'm not sure why we need to go show the Philadelphia Eagles fans our thing, Auburn's thing. I don't get it. And now I saw all these people that, you know, the only, you got to hate Bloggle. You got to hate whatever I say, regardless of whether it's true or not. I did get way more likes and reposts or retweets of it than I've gotten of anything in a long time. Like, if it's not football season, is this some awesome thing or a extremely funny tweet, which are rare now, I'm not going to get, I mean, I'll get some likes and retweets here or there, but mostly I'm going to get some hater saying something about it because that's what's cool to do now. But I got a lot of likes, but then I got a few, of course, on the Tolerant Peacock that, you know, if it wasn't a death threat, it was basically saying, calling me a clown and or saying, well, this is just helping promote Auburn and helping promote the Raptor Center. Number one, I don't think Auburn needs promotion. I mean, I'm pretty sure anybody watching an NFL game has heard of Auburn or anybody there. Number two, I bet the Phillies fans up there were drunk, could not care less, thought it was cool, made a joke about shooting it with their shotgun or whatever. Nobody sat there and said, hey, this came from Auburn. Here's a pamphlet on Auburn. Go to Auburn. Send your money to Auburn. I'm sorry. And I think most people know about the Eagle Flight, to be honest with you. It's been talked about on ESPN. We don't need promotion of it. It's just fine. And no offense, and usually when you say that, something offensive is coming out. It's not. The Raptor Center is great. I love it. They do the show on Friday nights of home games where they go, you can go out there and you can see all the Eagles and all the birds out there, all the Raptors they have out there. And it's awesome. I mean, great. But does it need more promotion? Is it hurting for money? I don't think so. Are we trying to build it into the greatest Raptor Center in the world? I don't know. Maybe it is. But you can look past, oh, wow, that's cool. That was Auburn. And I know that's very simple, and that's where some people stop, and that's where most people stop. And to be honest, my tweet was nothing more than, let's not do that anymore. Like, why are we taking our thing to some Phillies fans? I don't understand it. Some people were acting like the Eagle Independence, like went pro or something. Like it got an NIL deal or it got a NFL pro contract. Like, no, I get it. They asked us to, and we thought it'd be cool and whatever. But all I said was, let's not do that again. Because it's our thing. Gatekeep, whatever you want to call it, it is an Auburn tradition that is uniquely Auburn. We say it all the time. So I know, you know, people that complain about everything weirdly want to say, why do you complain about everything? People that hate everything, people say, why do you want to complain about everything? I'm not. My tweet was, let's not do that anymore. I don't think Auburn needs promotion. I don't think the Raptor Center got anything better from that. I mean, they may have paid them to come up there. They might have given them I know they gave them a ticket. They may have paid for their flight. They may have paid for their meal. Maybe they gave them a little bit. But again, is that really what we're trying to do is sell the Raptor Center and make money from it? Or, I mean, again, not a huge deal, but of course, some people had to make it like I just sat there and said, down with the Raptors. All I said was, why are some Philly fans getting to see our tradition? Again, though, got a lot of way more positive than I've gotten about anything in a long time. So I wasn't the only one. But of course, if I said it, a small group of people that call themselves birds or love a certain bird more than anything, they just had to hate it just because I said it. That's pretty much what it came down to. On the other hand, that was one thing. There were two things last week that I tweeted that, again, both got really good response, positive response, but then, of course, you've got a few that have to hate it. And that was, let's say I went to the Auburn game, went to the Auburn game. Baby Bloggle, who is 14 now and not a baby at all, had a travel baseball tournament in Georgia the next day. So we actually drove to Georgia, to Carrollton, Georgia, and spent the night so we didn't have to drive early in the morning. And when we got there, or on the way there, I kind of saw some scores. I was like, wow, Colorado State's beating Colorado. And we pulled it up on the radio and listened to it, whatever. We got there. The game ended at about 2 o'clock in the morning. I stayed up and watched the whole thing. Obviously, Colorado beat Colorado State, who was 0-1 and had lost a game already this year by like 26 points. And is a group of five team that will, you know, struggle to beat Memphis this year. We'll lose to Memphis probably. I tweeted something like, I got no problem with Deion. I was a Braves fan. I was a Falcon. I am a Braves fan. I'm a Falcons fan. Loved him there. I think he's funny. He's a real life Ric Flair, to be honest with you. I know Ric Flair is kind of that way anyway, but he's cocky, but usually backs it up, or is just kind of cocky in a funny way to where you don't know if you necessarily believe it, but what he said was cool enough that you liked it. So started off saying I like Deion, but my issue was idiots that get to rank teams and get to write about football teams and push and promote and what's the word I'm looking for? Affect the way we take in football and what we think, who we think is good and who we think is bad and what the championship should be. They were going to eat it up, the fact that Colorado beat Colorado State in double overtime and likely rank them in the top 10 or top 15. Now, surprisingly, they did drop a spot in the AP poll, but there were some idiots that ranked them 10, 11, 12. They were talking about a team that had beaten TCU, who, yes, was in the national championship, but if that's all you thought, maybe you thought Colorado was good for beating them. If that's all you knew, or if that's as far as your brainwaves went, TCU lost pretty much everything, lost their quarterback, lost their offensive coordinator. TCU also lost the national championship game by 50. So let's remember that. So Colorado, while it is great for Colorado to do that, that does not mean Colorado is one of the best teams in the nation. Then they play Nebraska, and we all know what Nebraska has been since the 90s. Same as Colorado, better than Colorado, but, you know, Colorado was the national champion in 1990. So let's stop acting like it's a brand new team that started last year, and we've got to love the story. And then they beat Nebraska, and then they beat Colorado State, who is kind of the equivalent, I would say, to, if an SEC team was playing somebody, that doesn't matter. I'd say they're like UAB or less. They're less than UAB. They have not been good either. They have won three or four games the last three or four seasons too. And Colorado, with everybody in the world on the sideline and the world of college football watching and everybody talking about how much fun it is, they had to go to double overtime and were trailing most of the game. They scored at the end on a long pass got a 2-point conversion to get to overtime. And that's great. I don't really care. I mean, I don't mind the team. I like Deion. That's fine. They're 3-0. They've played a schedule that's okay, but again, any other team would have gotten zero credit for those wins. Let's say Colorado was 7-8 wins the last few years, and then they were 3-0 right now with the same wins. Nobody would care. But we've got to hype up, go crazy about every little thing because we're trying to build a championship. We're trying to build who is the national champion and who's the best teams in the nation within the second or third week of the season, like we always do. And I'll talk about that in a second. Why are we so simple? Why are we so simple? And again, it goes back to, why can't you just be happy the Eagle went and flew in Philadelphia? It's more than that. It's not just dumb. If you're going to be one of those people that just watches a football game or watches football like a TV show, you do that and you stay in your recliner and do that. But don't get on Twitter, or if you're one of the people that do that but also have a blog or get on the webcam and talk on a news channel about sports, don't bring your simpleton, this is just so cool, I'm going to rank them, whatever. Again, you can think it's cool. It's interesting to me. Yeah, they've been terrible. Deion comes in and brings in a lot of good players. Let's not act like he just jumped in and turned a bunch of 1-stars into 5-stars. He brought in some good players, which is a thing. He did it. Good job. But we don't have to act like every one of them are brand new to football and everybody had told them no forever and this guy gave them a chance. No, we're talking some good football players here. But we've got to create a story. Football is good enough without your stories. without your fake hype. Like, yeah, I mean, if everybody on the team had one arm and it was a challenge for them and they were winning three games, I'll pull for that. That's good. That's great. I pull for them. But just because another college football team is good for three games, or let's just say not good, they're much better than they have been. Just because they're better than they have been, and this is, I've been saying this about Kentucky football forever. Just because they're better than they have been does not mean they are great or better than other teams that are traditionally good and might be a little bit down. What can you say about that about Auburn? I mean, just because Kentucky's been okay and just because Auburn's kind of been down the last two or three years, that doesn't mean that Kentucky is better than Auburn. They hadn't played. We don't know. But that doesn't automatically mean that. We got to separate emotion from an analysis of a football team. And we can't do that with Colorado for some reason. Like, okay, they have not been good before. They are 3-0. Great. It's happened many times. Many, many, many times. And I don't know why we're being, it's almost like we're being told that we should be happy for them. No, the last time I checked, Colorado wants to beat Auburn. I'm an Auburn graduate fan, been a fan my entire life. I've been to every home game since 2000. That's up to 166. The Georgia game coming up will be 167. I'm an Auburn fan. I don't care if Colorado's good. I do not want Colorado to be good. I don't want anybody to be good. I want Auburn to be good. And again, let's think about this. Most of these players were not only even on the team last year. So let's not like act like they've been struggling and now they've got a coach that cares. No, honestly, he didn't care about the ones that were struggling. He told them to go and let me bring in my guys. But we care about the city of Boulder. I mean, the city of Boulder has to have a good football team to be a great, happy city. No, it's college football. Let the games happen. Let us enjoy cool games, but that doesn't mean, like, Virginia Tech and West Virginia playing, and it's a cool game on a Thursday night, I will enjoy that game. That doesn't mean I all of a sudden am pulling for Virginia Tech or West Virginia or have a vested interest or I should like them or whatever. I'm an Auburn fan, and I'm not going to like Colorado just because they were terrible before and now they have a funny, cocky coach that has won them three games against mediocre at best teams. And again, I like Deion. I think he's funny. I watch his highlights all the time. Probably the best cornerback and punt returner ever. I like how cocky is. I don't remember him being at Florida State. I mean, I kind of do. And I think people a little bit older than me didn't like him there. But I didn't know him then. I knew Falcons, Braves, Deion. And I got no problem with that. There are things he says at Colorado that kind of stirs this up a little bit. And I think somebody said it today, and I agreed. I like 90% of Deion. I mean, it's whatever. He can say whatever he wants to. I'm just tired of people that have some power over people that just casually watch football and maybe even more than that, telling us that we're supposed to like this or that they're all of a sudden good and ranking them high because The Rock was on the sideline. It's like Georgia. It's like, what has Georgia done to be the number one team this year? Nothing, but they won it last year and they've got a lot of five stars and you got no reason to really think they're not number one. I mean, you do, but you can't take them off. But what has Colorado done to be ranked 18th? They're 3-0. Wow. Auburn's 3-0. I'm not comparing. Of course, that's the other thing that comes up is let's not talk about Colorado. Let's worry about Auburn. No, I'm a person. I can say things that don't have Auburn in my brain at the same time. So I'm tired of the, do you believe, I didn't disbelieve, I just thought y'all were a team that was not bad, that was bad, and y'all brought on some better players, so you probably should win. Now, you probably won't against Bo Nix this weekend, but Of course, Travis Hunter's out the next three games, so there will be that excuse from the media. Deion won't use that excuse. You know, that Travis Hunter got late hit, and people had to act like the guy purposely was trying to end his career and should have been arrested and kicked off the team. And then Travis Hunter and Deion came out today and said, hey, he was just playing football. See, I like that. That's fine. That's real. That's what you're supposed to say. But you've got other people that are all emotion, all TV show, all whatever, and they just want what they want. And they want to see a resolution that they would see in a TV show. That's really what it is. So, anyway, got a little hate on those, you know, people saying, man, you just don't like Deion. First sentence said, I like Deion. Like, let's not make this a thing that it has to be. And I'm not going to say what it is, but we don't have to make everything that. It's sports. I don't have to like Colorado. I'm fine with Deion if they play an exciting... The Colorado-Colorado State game was an exciting game. It was. But that's where it should end. It shouldn't end with Colorado is great. Let's bump them up in the polls, which they didn't. But some people did. People that affect other people's thoughts on football did. People who write and give their opinions and form other people's thoughts did do that. They did move them up and want everybody to think that beating Colorado State was some great thing that this team has done. Any other team, nobody's watching, nobody cares. Another part of that, your argument to that could be, well, see, that's the great thing about Deion. People care now. No, people watched that game. It picked up in the third quarter. Why? Because Colorado was losing. People didn't watch to see if Colorado was going to come back. All the people that agreed with my tweet, those types of people, were watching to see Colorado lose because now it's been forced down their throat so much. I mean, that's kind of why I was watching. Oh, wow, Colorado State's winning. Let's see if it happened. Again, I don't care to see Deion lose. I don't want to see his... I'm not, like, trying to do this so I can see him. It would be nice to just see how he reacts, but I'm not sitting there going, oh, I want Deion to lose. I just want stupid people that don't know what they're talking about to shut up. That's what I want. And people trying to tell you that you're supposed to like it. So... yeah, Deion has brought a lot to Boulder. Deion has made a lot of people watch, but these impressive numbers that ESPN put out that it was like the fifth most watched football game ever, well, most of those people were watching because Colorado was losing and they wanted to see him lose. That was why. Sorry. But for all the negativity, again, just like the Eagles tweet, got a ton of positive response and likes. So, it's weird. It's like, of course, the people that hate just to hate because it's cool to hate, they had to chime in, but I think we're more in agreement of the two things I said. Why are we sending our Eagle to a Philadelphia Eagles game? Go to the Falcons. At least they're probably all Georgia fans, but there's just no a Thursday night regular season football game for a team that has an Alabama quarterback that's got a bunch of Phillies fans in the stadium, and the flight was not even on TV. I don't get it. I don't get it. But, you know, along with the rankings thing, you know, that was another thing to bring up. I mentioned that, you know, Auburn's 3-0. They got one vote. They got one 25th place vote from a guy in the Tampa Bay Times. They had a vote or two after the win over UMass, and then they got zero after the win over Cal. So it dropped off even though they won because people were asleep and just saw the score and thought Auburn must not be good. After they said it would be a struggle, that was another stupidity. But then Auburn got one vote from the guy this week, and I simply tweeted something like, Auburn is 3-0. And my insinuation was, we're a top 15 program in the SEC, 3-0, Got a Power 5 win on the road, regardless of what you want to say about Cal now. You know, now they're absolutely awful. Before, it was like, wow, this is going to be a struggle. It's going to be tough. And now, every time you see Cal talked about by somebody, usually an Auburn fan that seemingly hates Auburn, talks about how terrible Cal is. But anyway, my point was, you know, has any SEC team that was 3-0 ever gotten zero votes or one in this case? And, of course, that turns into, we ain't done nothing. Wait till this weekend. It's always wait till this weekend. Wait till we play Texas A&M. Wait till we get 5-0. Wait till we won 12 games. Then we'll know. No, what about the teams that did nothing that are ranked? They ain't done nothing. Georgia ain't done nothing. I mean, Georgia has honestly looked bad. It's not, like, bad for Georgia. Like, they have not looked good. They were 0-0 against Ball State. I think they scored 45 against UT Martin or 48 and then scored 45 against Ball State. And they were struggling bad to South Carolina, who's now 1-2. Of course, they get UAB this week. So, I mean, it's a tear. But because they were ranked number one last year, even though they have a new quarterback and you've seen now three games worth where they can't score a touchdown in the first quarter or second quarter seemingly, but we just keep them number one. What have they done to stay number one? Don't say they won the national championship last year because that does not matter at all. It's a different team. Very different team. I mean, I'm not arguing like I'm not arguing, yes, I think Auburn could be ranked. I don't know. I mean, they're 3-0, whatever. They could be. You have no clue. Like, Iowa is ranked right now. Tulane was ranked until Ole Miss beat them. Like, teams like that, Washington State, they're 3-0. Who'd they beat? They beat Colorado State. But it's like, you don't know anything. That's really what I'm arguing here is, why not wait till the fifth or sixth game? We've said this a million times, but they'll never do it because – they need a number to put next to the team's names to sell ad space and say, oh, we've got a top 10 matchup. That's what they do. They need it. So it'll probably never go away. But you've got Georgia, number one. If you took away the national championship last year and saw their games, would you say they're the number one team? No. Then you have Florida State, who jumped up to number two because they – scored a bunch of, or they kind of shut down LSU and scored a few touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden they were the greatest team in the world. Well, what did they do this past week? They won by two at Boston College. What did Boston College do the week before? They beat Holy Cross by three. I didn't know Holy Cross had a football team. But the number two team in the nation beat Boston College by two, who beat Holy Cross by three. So, does that game mean everything? Does that mean Florida State's not good? No. They're decent. I mean, they beat LSU, and LSU is they destroyed Mississippi State. They destroyed Grambling. So, I mean, they're obviously okay, and Florida State did beat them, but it was the first game. But we got to put them on a pedestal. We got to say, here's our national championship teams right here after week one. We know it. And then they play Boston College. But again, does that mean they're bad? No. We don't know. We have no idea what anybody is. But we've got to put these numbers and create perception for the rest of the year. The College Football Playoff Committee does not put out their rankings. I think it's either week 8 or 10. For whatever reason, I can't remember. But I want to say it's 8, but 10 just popped in my head. And what do? They wait and they wait and they watch then. However, what are those people looking at all year? They're going, all right, Georgia's number one, Georgia's number one, Georgia's number one, Georgia's number one. All right, week 8. All right, Georgia's number one. You can't tell me a human brain is not going to see those numbers all year and watch those games and see somebody beat somebody and go, okay, well, that was a top 10 win. No matter that the team has now lost four games and is nowhere near the top 10, but they got this top 10 win under their belt, so I remember that. So, yeah, that team's good. But you have no idea. You have created the perception in the middle of the summer before anybody knows anything based off of a bowl game and some recruiting. And sometimes based off nothing. I mean, Yeah, Georgia should have been number one to start the season. They won the national championship by 50 points, and they have all five stars. If I was doing it, I would have ranked Georgia number one. But right now, compared to everybody else, who would you rank number one? I don't know. You could say Washington. They've scored a lot of points. I don't know who they've played. I know they're 3-0 and scored a lot of points. USC struggled. They're 3-0. They've struggled in one game, I think. It's early in the season. You're going to lose. You're going to play a bad first half, and the score is going to look bad, and people are going to snicker when they see it. But that it means nothing. You don't know. That's why they play 12 games. Why do we insist on giving fake numbers, but also on top of that, after a week or two, telling everybody who the Heisman Trophy winner is going to be and who the top four teams are? Why the people that love college football and dream about it every night because they want this time of year so they can get their paycheck and their clicks, why do they want to go ahead and tell you what the end is going to be? Sometimes they're wrong, but what have they done? They have created the perception. They've planted the seed. They have told you what number that team is. And whether they end up that number or not, you've already got it in your head that LSU is a top five team. Then they lose to Florida State. Oh, Florida State's a top three team. And then they beat Boston College by two. Oh, Georgia's the best team in the nation. They cannot score a touchdown in the first quarter or second quarter sometimes and struggle against Ball State. Leave it alone and just let it happen. And then, yes, in the fifth, sixth, seventh week, we can start thinking about it. Yes, there will be unofficial rankings. Everybody in the world has a ranking or a power ranking right now. And so there is always going to be a number that somebody puts out there. But if you're going to let people in for the AP poll or even the coaches poll, which apparently, as we all know, is just sports information directors and means absolutely nothing, yet we still put it out and still read it and think it means something. I don't care. I've said this before. I don't care if there's a kid scratching out his rankings on the back of a bathroom wall in Montana. I want it to be right. I want Auburn to be ranked. I'm not saying it needs to be unfairly ranked, but that's why it matters. I went to Auburn. I want Auburn's number to be as good as it can possibly be. Fairly good as it could possibly be. Because I'm biased with that. But the whole point is, I don't care if they matter. That's the common response, is either A, we ain't done nothing, or B, polls don't matter. Yes, they matter. They create perception. They're put on the TV screen for a reason. They come out with big old tweets every week. AP, ESPN, they all put it out so everybody can talk about it. And I know that's why they do it. But then it also creates perception. It makes you think a team sucks. It makes you think a team is in the national championship, which then creates thoughts about when games happen, what the score is in the third quarter, and that, oh, if that team's not beating that team by 100, then they must suck. Just let it happen. Let the season happen. Enjoy the games. Watch the games. And then about halfway through, we can start saying, well, that team's pretty good. Yep. They've got four wins against other teams that look pretty good too. Now, again, college football is impossible. There's 100 conferences, and they're apparently changing every year for some dumb reason. There's 100 and something teams. Nobody plays the same schedule. Nobody plays even the same, close to the same schedule. But, callback, we're going to Colorado and saying those three games they've played have now made them a top 20 football team. When somebody else might have a loss, LSU, who's another team with a loss? Alabama. Those teams have a loss because they've played better teams. But how do you compare that? You can't. So the only option is wait. Just wait. Now, the better option would be to cut Division I football to 64 teams and have four conferences of 16, Northeast, Southeast, Northwest, Southwest. Try to keep some rivalries, but and have relegation. You can move up and down. If you suck for 5 years, you're down. That would be the easiest thing. But a lot of this is what makes college football good. But when people say that, sometimes they want chaos. And they don't realize that sometimes man-made chaos through media, through fake polls and all that, you know, causes guys to lose their jobs or causes guys to get extensions that don't need them. They don't understand that. You're watching a TV show called college football, and that's not what it is. That's not why I watch it. I want my team to be good. That's why I watch it. I rarely, especially in college basketball, but I rarely maybe watch one other game that's not Auburn related. I've said it many years. Maybe I'm not a sports fan. I'm an Auburn fan. That's why I don't like the NBA. It's not about I don't like basketball. It's just I don't have a connection. I went to Auburn. I have the connection. Quit trying to make me have a connection with other things. Cool. Deion's got them winning. That's great. It's not Auburn. Don't care. Sorry. All right. Well, it's Texas A&M week, if you want to remember that. Going to Kyle Field, not scary anymore, but the preview that I write will have some scare. I've got Olin Buchanan from texags.com to do the other sideline. I will have that posted tomorrow, which will be Wednesday, which is when you probably would hear this first. We got the first look out there from Jack the Rabbit. Bo Knows has his piece. I just posted it tonight on Tuesday about let's just all stop saying that Robbie needs to be playing. I know it's gotten way down. It was bad a few weeks ago. Nothing against Robbie. I want Robbie to play for sure. He needs to play 100%. But Thorne kind of showed some stuff. Yes, it was Samford, but he showed he can drop dimes. He can obviously run the ball. Let's let him get there and not have to worry about Robbie looking over his shoulder. And Robbie has, from what I've seen, has taken it very well and been very supportive on the sideline. I mean, joking around with him and all that and ready to go in when it's his turn. So that's a good thing. So go read Bo Knows. It's a little bit about that, but more of like, let's embrace Peyton and stop. Let's just stop. Stop doing the dumb Auburn thing. Stop booing. There's not really been any booing this year, but you'll get to see Bo Nix beat Colorado this year because the students booed when he was here. But you know, I'm not gonna get on the tangent here, but when Robbie comes in the game, you hear the student section kind of like light up. Like, that's good, fine, but what you're really saying is, oh, good, now we've got the good quarterback in there now. But no, it's just the guy you remember from last year and that has scored a few touchdowns. Again, love Robbie, but let's use some logic and not just be all emotional. Logic. Just wait. Let the games happen. What else? So, Bloggle Spots. This is a Bloggle podcast, War Bloggle podcast. So you can get it on, obviously, wherever you're listening now, but Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever. But also have Bloggle Spots, which is like a daily, used to be daily. I'm trying to do it more now. Just kind of maybe 10 or 15 quick yell some stuff into my phone type thing. That's there as well on all those platforms, Bloggle Spots. And then also there's Bloggle Spaces, which I haven't really done in a while, but those are just Twitter spaces that I eventually record where we talk to other people. So if you can find those there, warbloggle.com. I've got my iPhone app. It was up, and then there was an update to the iPhone, and it just killed it somehow. I'm not sure why, but I've got the guy that we'll work with pushing that out. So hopefully within the next week or so, iPhone app will be back out. Trying to work on an Android one, even though Android is the devil. And I hate that clicking sound. That's it. It's Texas A&M week. Let's beat the Aggs. No gig'em, no thumbs up or whatever. Let's go 4-0. All right. So this was Warbloggle, not a Bloggle spot, but Warbloggle podcast number 12. War Eagle.